Welcome to Across the Dietary Universe, a podcast where we bring experts along our voyage to discover the secrets of food and how it relates to each of our unique dietary profiles. From the origins of diets to current eating trends to the frontier of food innovation and the future of how we eat, we'll discover that when it comes to food, things are not necessarily as they seem. Honeycomb is a mobile app that works with your iPhone or Android device to help you find suitable food to eat at restaurants near you based on your specific dietary requirements. If you're plant-based and celiac, low FODMAP with a tree nut allergy, keto and dairy-free, we support countless dietary combinations and profiles. Based on your inputs, Honeycomb curates the best restaurants for you and the best options to order at those restaurants. If you have more severe allergies, don't worry. Honeycomb only recommends you places that have a clear protocol to deal with cross-contamination. Pre-order Honeycomb today at get.honeycomb.ai. Okay, we're live with Louise McNabb. I'm super excited to talk to you, Louise. It's been a couple months since we last spoken, and there's been some cool developments since then. It's so nice to have you on the Across the Dietary Universe podcast.
Yes, thank you very much for the opportunity. Excited to speak with you.
So I have a little intro here that we put together. So I'm just going to read this out because I think it'll be better than me just riffing. But Louise McNabb is the founder of Germs, a gut health brand on a mission to make optimal gut health accessible to anyone. The Germs Cafe in London not only serves fantastic plant-based gut-healthy food, but is also a community space for events on topics such as sustainability and nutrition. Germs has also launched their own brand of nutrition supplements. Louise is a corporate lawyer turned gut health entrepreneur. Her high stress career led her to suffer from gut issues such as SIBO, leaky gut, acne, chronic fatigue, anxiety. The cure was to treat her gut with a balanced diet and healthy bacteria. Louise is not shy to talk about bodily functions and hopes to shed the stigma about gut issues and good bacteria.
Yeah, exactly. You nailed it. Can I take you everywhere? That was great.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I'm happy. I think that's a lot better than just me winging it. But there is a lot to unpack there. And I don't even know where to start really today because there's so many interesting things to discuss. But I guess the first thing is, are you feeling better?
I am. Thank you. Yes, it's been a journey. And for many years, I knew I didn't feel quite right. I mean, as many people with gut issues can relate to it, it is somewhat an invisible disease. Yeah. And so now, you know, I think the first step is actually figuring out what was wrong with me, because that took me a long time. Is for me, you know, I didn't have a chronic condition. I know you had UC, but I had issues where the symptoms were, as you mentioned, you know, chronic fatigue, acne, a lot of things that in my life and also when I was having to function every day at a, you know, very demanding career, it was debilitating. So it was a big step to actually get diagnosed and figure out what was wrong. And then from there, be able to say, you know, not cure, but be able to manage it and improve my lifestyle, really.
When you got diagnosed, right, did you buy it? Like, oh, bacteria is causing all of this? Because it's like, well, bacteria is there. We know about it. It must be something more than bacteria. Like, was there a bit of a surprise there that it all just comes down to that?
Yes and no. So as I alluded to before, it was many years.
Right.
And, you know, live in the Western world. So my first point of call was my GP. So my, you know, general practitioner. And all I had to say was, you know, I just can't get out of bed. I can't think properly. I can't articulate myself. You know, I didn't have any, you know, like rashes or blood or something that, you know, they could automatically say, well, this is X.
Yeah.
So I didn't get much help through that. So it really was me just, I was just journaling every symptom. I felt researching, reading papers. And so it came to a point where I felt through, you know, really it took me years, where I felt, okay, I think I've narrowed it down. It seems like it's something to do with my gut. And this is what I think it is. And then I began seeing functional practitioner, and we did the test. So really, actually, the diagnosis was, it was a relief because it was a confirmation of what I knew and what hadn't been maybe recognized for a long time.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's awesome that after so much effort in trying to figure out what was going on, that you were able to figure something out and make it work for you. People try so many different diets, and sometimes there's fads and this and that, but bacteria still seems to me to be a little bit mysterious in a way. Like, it's not super defined. For myself, I take probiotics, for example, and I know that it helps me. But I'm sort of just curious myself, because I haven't taken the full deep dive into the world of germs as you have. And the commitment there to do that and not, let's say, try like a paleo diet or try like, you know, of course, you must have tried like elimination diets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Did you try other diets before you were like, okay, well, it's mostly about my own personal balance with, you know, with my gut? Or were you like, did you try any of those, you know, out of the box ideas?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think people who have gut issues are familiar with the low FODMAP diet.
Yeah.
So I tried that, and it did work for me. My issue was, because I'm plant-based, it's very restrictive.
Right.
And that's another journey I was on, because, you know, I love food. You know, food is very important. It brings us together. And for a while, I just became so obsessed with what I was eating and where I was going. And then that in and of itself was having a negative impact on my mental health. So again, it was, as you said, you know, seeing the balance. I worked out there are definitely certain trigger foods, shall we say, that
right.
I definitely can't eat, like garlic, onions. But then, yeah, through that, I figured out how to be more balanced and get back that positive relationship with food, which is so important. And also, that's also great. Why your app is so great, because it puts everything in your control, you know, and it empowers you. So you've got that knowledge, and then you can, you know, you can make your own decisions with that.
Right. Yeah. And I think what I keep telling a lot of people is like, we're coming into the sort of like renaissance or enlightenment when it comes to food and like what we actually put in our bodies, where there hasn't really been that. I mean, we've taken everything for granted and just, you know, whatever's thrown at us, we eat and we don't really second guess it. But now we're really going into it. And it does feel like that we have all of a sudden this rush of a desire and curiosity for knowledge, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, back in the day, you know, food was, you know, they said food is medicine. And it really can be. And you know, I grew up, my mom's from Sri Lanka. So not that it wasn't so direct, but her influence from Ayurvedic practice. So for example, you know, just after a meal, she'd chew fennel seeds just
right.
Because it was good for digestion. So things like that kind of seeped into, I guess, my unconscious. But yeah, as an adult, I've really seen the impact that food has. And also, it's the great news is that, you know, some things we can't change with our bacterial makeup. You know, some of it is determined by genetics, but food and diet is one of the key modifiable factors.
Right.
So that's in our control that can help us and that can increase the diversity of bacteria, which is the key to not only improving our gut health, but our overall health, both physical and mental.
Right. And I mean, at the end of the day, every diet is meant for gut health, really. Like if you think about it, every diet is meant to adjust for that. And so to have that as the North Star, is really cool. And I'm just seeing things go like the story about, you know, what, your mother used to eat after, you know, the fennel seeds and everything, that I feel like so many families have stories like that. And it's like an alchemy that is now becoming more of a science. And like, we're looking into it and like, well, why is fennel seed good? Right.
Exactly. Yeah. She just, you know, did it, or, you know, turmeric for, you know, for inflammation. Right. Didn't really, it was just kind of second nature. Right. But yeah, exactly. Now we kind of know maybe this, you know, the science behind it, which is great. But then, you know, the other thing is also, which is important, is, as you know, we're all different. There is no one diet that fits everybody. It's not a one size fits all. You know, everyone's microbiome is different. Everybody is different. So it's also figuring out what works for you as well.
Right.
I mean, having said that, why I'm so passionate about bacteria is because regardless of what diet you're on or what diet works for you, is that the science does show that what's most important is eating a diverse range of fruit and vegetables. So aim is 30 plus a week. And that doesn't mean you have to cut out meat. Personally, I don't eat meat, but that doesn't mean, you know, you have to go vegan. It just means upping the intake.
Right.
And the diversity of plants that you eat.
Did you go plant-based because of the issues that you were having?
I did. I started, and it was the first kind of stage. And because I suffered a lot from anxiety. And so, you know, I tried to just cut down my meat intake, and I did it gradually. And for me, again, personally, it made me feel better. It made me feel calmer. So that was really why. It wasn't to do with, the gut health. And yeah, so I think it's, again, figuring out what works for you. But yeah,
got it.
Eating much as you can.
Works. Right. How did you go from, I mean, people are probably curious, but how did you go from a corporate lawyer to founder of a gut friendly restaurant? And are you still practicing as a lawyer?
No, I'm not. I'm not practicing since the pandemic. I've put everything into, yeah, germs. This is my nice. Baby, my passion. And it's, yeah, really my passion because it's a bit dramatic, but you know, it saved me. It made me feel better. So yeah, I was working as a corporate lawyer for almost a decade, and it made me sick. The lifestyle, the long hours, it was a lot of stress. So I suffered from a lot of stress induced
right.
Issues. So it was my journey on finding that out. And of course, when I finally did realize, I became so passionate about it, because for years I've been studying this, and you know, you just really also want to just get the word out and tell everyone else how important it is and how they can feel better as well.
I need you to talk to my brother, because he's a corporate lawyer as well in Toronto. And he has UC as well. Like he was diagnosed with it. Yeah, it's really weird, because he was diagnosed within like 2 months before I was diagnosed. And he's 9 years older than me. So super strange. And
wow, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. That's a lot, him practicing and suffering from a chronic condition.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially all, you know, after work, you need to drink whiskey to deal with all the problems. And so that doesn't really vibe.
Part of the job description. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. You know, closing deals to like what, like 1 a.m, 2 a.m, like it's a tough situation to be in. So you might have some tips and tricks. I'll tell him to listen to this episode maybe. But yeah, so you followed your passion, which is amazing. You followed your gut, pardon the pun. Sorry, I had to say that. But let's talk bacteria now, because I think a lot of people are interested in that. And I'd like to, you know, let the listeners know, because we talk about so many different things, but actually bacteria hasn't been, you know, we just sort of like touched on it, I guess, superficially. So can you sort of explain what is good bacteria and where do we get it?
Yeah, sure. So really, I'd say there is no kind of ideal healthy gut. I mean, there are, so there's about over 1,000 species of bacteria and more than 5,000 strains. We do know, and so we, you know, the scientists have discovered some good strains of bacteria, like you've probably seen them on the back of yogurt or probiotics, like Lactobacillus or Bifidobacteria, you know, all the big Latin names, that you can't pronounce. But really, what they have concluded so far is that it's less about getting the good, and it's more about the diversity. So the number of species that you have, getting that balance.
Right.
And so the good news is that you can increase the diversity of bacteria via your diet, so eating more variety of plants and plants, also more fiber. But there's beyond diet, which I said before is a key modifiable factor. There's also lifestyle factors, so like stress mitigation, quality of sleep, even exercise can actually have an effect on the diversity of bacteria.
That's so weird. That's so not intuitive at all.
It is. It really, really is. So there's, so there's many different factors, but the most important is to have the diversity. It's like, you know, it's like, I guess modern life, right? In order for society to function optimally, we need doctors, we need rubbish collectors, we need people to stock the shelves in supermarkets, we need everybody. And it's kind of the same for our gut as well.
And so why are we unable to create this naturally?
The bacteria?
Yeah, like, because I guess some people have a good, you know, I guess culture is like, as it's called, and other people don't. Why do we struggle with this? Maybe that's a really difficult question to answer.
Well, yeah, I think some of us do naturally have it, and whether that, I mean, it's literally determined from when we're first born.
Right.
So factors that have an impact are whether we were born by cesarean or vaginally, whether we're breastfed, things like that. So even, you know, if we have a pet when we're growing up, so there's many different factors. So just, you know, by the way that, you know, perhaps we were born or the way you were brought up, you could have more beneficial bacteria, you could have better diversity.
Got it.
But yeah, the problem is living in the Western world, we have these factors that, you know, like more processed foods and pollution, environmental toxins, which unfortunately, you know, we're fighting against, have a negative impact.
And so I heard as well that, you know, taking antibiotics at a young age, that can just destroy the gut bacteria.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Because unfortunately, the antibiotics can't differentiate between the good and the bad bacteria. So they just kill everything, including the good. It's kind of like, you know, back it at stage one. So yeah, it's really important if, you know, when, if you're on antibiotics, in some countries, they actually, the doctors prescribe antibiotic with a probiotic at the same time.
Right.
But yeah, if, you know, especially at a young age, it completely kind of obliterates everything.
Right. It sounds like you are trying to get most of your good bacteria from food now, right? Do you take supplements in addition to the food?
Yeah, so I take so I have a baobab, which is a natural superfood. So it's from a fruit from Africa. It's a natural prebiotic.
What's it called?
So baobab, B-A-O-B-A-B. So yeah, it's a fruit. It's really high in fiber. It's very high in vitamin C. So things like that I take, which are good for my gut. I also take, I think, you know, as we've been mentioning, it really is about an integrative approach. So I take something called ashwagandha,
right?
Which is great for stress as well. Lion's mane, which is good for brain function. So to make sure that, you know, kind of it's uncovering everything,
right?
And that, yeah, that really helps. Of course, the most difficult one and the most important is the stress mitigation. And you know, everyone now, we live fast-paced lives, so that's hard to keep on top of. But it's something for me which is a trigger, so I really have to make sure
stress is just pouring gasoline over, you know, everything and waiting for a match to just come in and spark it up, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's a great way of describing it.
Do you think, this might be a weird question, but do you think because of COVID and now people are super aware of germs, if you will, that they're going to start thinking more about it, maybe in a good way or not?
Yeah, you know, it's funny you ask that, because I definitely did have some trepidation, because it's a brand new company we just launched during, lockdown here in the UK, which is April this year. And I didn't want it, you know, to be triggering to some people, you know, germs.
Yeah.
Fortunately, people have understood that it's, you know, as soon as you say gut health, they understand.
Right.
So yeah, it's funny, because one of the things also that has a big impact is this, what's the so-called hygiene hypothesis. So basically we're too clean, you know, and it's something that is very important in terms of gut health. You know, we don't constantly have to be, you know, washing our hands and using antibacterial, because it's stripping away, you know, everything natural and good. But of course, I haven't kind of delved too much into that topic, because I don't want to take away from the narrative of, you know, we do have to wash our hands and we do have to. So yeah, hopefully when this is maybe, you know, a distant memory, I can talk more about that.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. Okay, I have a personal question because I kind of freak out about bacteria, honestly. Like, I put chicken in the fridge, and after like 2 days maximum, I'm throwing it out if I haven't eaten it, like fresh, right? Even if they say like, oh, you can last like 3 days or something, honestly, like 1 or 2 days, I'm done. I just freak out. I'm like, is there any bacteria growth on that? I'm going to have a bad time. So that's like obviously a very, you know, severe example. Raw meat, of course, is bacteria.
Yeah.
But then I go to the supermarket and I see like a kombucha, for example. And kombucha is supposed to be good bacteria, right? From what my understanding. But I still freak out. Like, I'm scared to try it, because I think if something's weird with that, like if that bacteria doesn't vibe with my bacteria, then I'm also going to have like a flare up. Is this an irrational fear?
Well, I think the chicken, like you said, raw meat, probably better to be safe than sorry, because if that goes wrong, it can go really wrong.
Yeah.
But in terms of, everything else, I mean, this is one of the perceptions, right? That bacteria is bad, or just the word bacteria has negative connotations. But in fact, bacteria, first of all, you know, we have as much bacteria as human cells in our body. We need bacteria. Bacteria do so much of good for us, you know, and not just helping us digest our food, whether it's, you know, regulating our immune system, improving our mood, stabilizing weight. So I think, if it's just generally an irrational fear of bacteria, no, you need, go for it. Embrace the germs.
So is kombucha like a good thing as far as getting good bacteria in your body?
Sure, it's one way. I'd say be careful, because a lot of, kombucha brands now, there's a lot of added sugars.
Right.
So, you know, and again, it's about, and this is what, as a brand, I also want to be very honest about, you know, improving your gut health isn't just about, say, maybe having a kombucha with lunch or popping a probiotic. It's so much more. It is about, as we've been talking, this integrative approach. It is about, you know, diet and what you're putting in your body, but it's also about stress mitigation. And without kind of covering all the bases, you're not going to have optimal gut health. And gut health is such a trendy and buzzword nowadays, but you know, having a kombucha lunch isn't isn't going to change a whole lot. Sure, it's beneficial, but you need to do a bit more than that.
Right. Okay. So I need to get over my irrational fear of anytime I see bacteria, I freak out. I do take a probiotic. It's called Align. I don't know what the exact makeup of it is, but it's quite popular here. And I was recommended when I was trying to get into remission to take probiotics to replenish the system and so on, because we're talking about like after months of taking prednisone steroids to decrease the inflammation, which is an absolutely horrible experience. My dosage was so high with prednisone that my hands, like I would hold my keys to get into my apartment and my hands would be shaking like, you know, like some neurological disease or something like that. So it definitely affects you. And so in order to replenish the system, you know, they recommended taking probiotics. And I heard of a couple and it wasn't as popular back then. This was around 2013-ish. And now it's become sort of much more mainstream. And now you can go to any pharmacist or any market really, and you have a variety of choices to get. So how does one go about figuring out like what's a good which is a good one to test? You just guess and test? Like how do you figure that out?
That's a good question. I mean, I think if you want to get really scientific about it, maybe you can Google the actual strains of bacteria. I don't know what it's like in Canada, but here in Europe, they are regulated, and in order to be called a probiotic, it has to have a certain level of bacteria, amount of bacteria in it, which is a good thing. So I'd say, just do some research.
Right.
Okay.
So that's helpful, because I also had a friend the other day. He was telling me, you know what? I went to this restaurant, something went wrong at the restaurant. And I had a bad time. My wife and I actually both had a bad time. So what we did is we went to, cause he was thinking maybe I should go to like the emergency or something like that. He went to a ton of pain, a ton of whatever, food poisoning. Right. And so he decided to go to the pharmacy and got a bunch of different probiotics and just had like one of each and made a probiotic cocktail. And apparently, miraculously, he felt extremely better, like immediately. I don't really know what to make of that.
I don't know, of course, if you can overdose on probiotics, but it's that's great that it worked for him, and you know, it's certainly taking the recommended dose will only have a beneficial effect.
I guess the point that I'm trying to make is like people, maybe if they've thought about probiotics, that maybe if they think it's dangerous, if they think that they're going to have a bad reaction to it, that they should maybe go give it a try if they are having some issues, because it does seem to be like a pretty reasonable solution at this point.
Yeah, definitely. So it is the good bacteria which we need. Right. And, presuming that there's no, additives or any nasties added into whatever supplement, that's, something you can research by looking at the ingredients. If it's just the pure beneficial strains, then it should be, it definitely should be beneficial for you by increasing that diversity and the amount of good bacteria. And how has it been for you taking the...
It's been great. I find that it's to me not necessarily a be all end all, but it's definitely a safeguard. Like if let's say I ate the wrong thing, or I had a cheat day or something, knowing that I'm taking that probiotic is, just first of all, mentally just keeps me like, it'll be okay. My gut will recover faster if anything. But at the end of the day, if I'm going to be cheating on all my meals, I'm going to be skipping my medication that I take, then it can't really, it won't survive that war by itself, put it that way.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's been really good otherwise. And when I don't take it, I do find myself getting sick faster, I would say.
Right.
Yeah. I want to switch to gut health specifically, not necessarily bacteria, but you mentioned something regarding mental health and mental well-being. And a lot of people don't know, but the gut is sort of, I mean, there's, I don't know how many neurons are actually in the gut, but can you connect, can you talk about the connection between gut health and mental well-being?
Sure. So basically the gut and the brain are directly connected by something that people may have heard of, the gut-brain axis. So basically it's this bi-directional communication between the central nervous system, which is the brain, and the GI tract, the gut. And so they literally communicate with each other. And your listeners, a real life example for your listeners might be, you know, when you're nervous, you feel butterflies in your stomach, right? And it's no coincidence that, you know, 90% of people who have IBS also suffer from anxiety and depression. So there, I mean, it could not be more closely linked. And now there's a lot of research coming out in that stress actually is one of the main factors in reducing the diversity of bacteria in your gut. So yeah, they're completely intertwined.
Yeah, no, I found that, and that's a great explanation. And I found that myself, like even in terms of the absorption of nutrients, vitamin D, for example, doesn't really happen when I'm in a flare up. And yeah, it's like people with at least for UC, and I can't speak to the other conditions, but we do tend to suffer from depression while we're in a flare up. And right. It's just like a toxic cycle that, you know, continues, yeah. Right?
Yeah, exactly. It's tough.
And what is it about the, you know, let's say like British/North American, or we can call it Western diet, that hurts the, like our gut health? Or is there specific type of things that we eat that is just ruining our gut?
Yeah, I think it's just that more that prevalence of high processed foods, more refined sugar. And of course the highly processed foods have less nutrients in it. Another thing which we're severely lacking, and which I personally don't think there's as much emphasis put on it, you know, I always hear about, oh, protein deficiency and this and that, but actually what we should really be concerned about is fiber deficiency. So here in the UK, and I imagine it's probably similar in Canada, so 9 out of 10 of us aren't getting enough fiber. The recommended intake is 30 grams a day, and we're only getting 18 grams a day. So fiber is really important because it's what the good guys, they munch on it, they love it, they produce the short chain fatty acids from it, which in turn helps to heal and nourish the gut, reduce inflammation. So that's definitely one thing that I think is lacking in the North American British right. diets.
So there's a long way to go, and it's a little bit disappointing, frankly, that, you know, you can't just go out to any restaurant and say, hey, can I have the option that's going to make my gut feel okay? And that's going to be part of a well-balanced diet. You know, the thing that is so weird and annoying, it's like you'll go to like McDonald's and they list their nutritional information and stuff, and they'll list this thing and that, and it just like, stop.
Yeah.
Like, I think they say in England, what do they say? Come off it, right? That's what you guys say.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, what are you going to do with that?
You know? And so yeah. you saw that, and you probably were frustrated, and you're like, well, I'm going to create something that is going to, you know, start you're effectively one of the pioneers of this now in terms of gut health restaurants. Like, we in Vancouver, we don't have a single restaurant that brands themselves as a gut health restaurant. And so I think you really are at the, you know, at the frontier of developing this. And I'm curious to know a little bit, you know, obviously there's a ton of entrepreneurial challenges during the pandemic, and we can get into those, but I'm sort of curious how the public has reacted to this type of a menu. I mean, looking at the items all sound great. Are people, some of them, just coming in oblivious to like even the benefits?
Yeah, absolutely. Which I think is a great thing, you know, and we definitely did when we were designing the menu, you know, again, it's, as you mentioned, the start, it's important for me for everything to be accessible, you know, whether right. that's from a price point or an, you know, an explanation point, or so you know, we've got, you know, things like, we have like an Avo toast on the menu, right? Everyone loves Avo toast, but you know, our twist on it is that we incorporate some, we've got a pineapple and turmeric kraut, so something that's fermented. You've got the turmeric there, which is also good for your gut. So, you know, getting away from this old kind of mentality that you know, anything that's maybe healthy or something that's really beneficial for you has to taste disgusting, you right. know. So yeah, we have fun with it as well. You know, I've got a blue spirulina, we make the blue spirulina smoothie bowls from it, so it can taste delicious. You can you know, get in your 30 plus plants a week, or your, you know, your increased fiber in a way that's yeah, really, really tasty and, you know, accessible, and it doesn't feel like you're, you know, having to get it down you, you know, and tick the box. So
right.
yeah, it's been really great.
Awesome. And what's I'm looking at the menu right now. There's something called the names and everything just sound amazing. And I'm very disappointed that I can't just fly there and go try it. Cause then I have to come back and do a 2-week quarantine. So I'm just waiting for that to lift. Cause I have some friends out in London. I think I was telling you that I'm looking to come check it out. But, the Pink Dragon, what is Pink Pitaya? So this is one of Germ's smoothie bowls. It's a Pink Dragon. It says Pink Pitaya, yeah. Mango, Germ's Morning Glory, Functional Granola, Banana, Coconut. Sounds amazing. Whoever's listening in London, better go check that out. What are you waiting for? But what is Pink Pitaya?
Pink Pitaya, it's also known as dragon fruit.
Okay.
It's a fruit common in certain parts of Asia. It's good for digestion. So yeah, so we add that in. You know, pineapple also has some bromelain in it, natural digestive enzymes. And then our functional granola, we also add some ashwagandha in it. You're getting kind of everything in there, and it's still, you know, it's actually one of the great things about this. You know, I have the products and I have the cafe.
Yeah.
So it's been really great, because a lot of people, you know, may not be aware of some of the products that I have.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about the products that people can buy them, and do you sell them online as well?
Yeah, I sell them online, and you can also pick them up in store in our cafe.
Okay.
So it's, as people have probably gathered by now, I'm very passionate about taking this integrative approach. So that's why our first collection is called the Integrative Collection. So you have products in there that are good for your gut, like the baobab, which we talked about before, which is a natural prebiotic.
Right.
You've also got lion's mane and ashwagandha, which are adaptogens. They are fantastic for anything cognitive, as well as being high in fiber as well. So everything, you're still getting the benefits for your gut. Same with our ceremonial grade matcha, because I know a lot of people, including myself, with gut issues, coffee doesn't always work well for us.
Right, yeah, fair.
exacerbates the situation.
Most definitely.
Confirmed. So I found matcha to be an amazing alternative, and also it's full of antioxidants and right. the spirulina as well. So it's been great, because people can be, you know, introduced to these products. They can add lion's mane or ashwagandha, for example, to their coffee, and they see that, you know, it doesn't affect the taste, or they're not going to grow a second nose, and then they, you know, they see the benefits, and it's just allowed it to be more accessible for them by trying it first in the cafe, trying it first in our smoothies or our dishes,
right?
And then seeing how easy it is just to integrate into your daily life.
The packaging is lovely. It looks amazing. I'm really into it. And I just want to try all of these now. Like, I feel like a kid at the candy shop looking at.
I need to send you a care package. Yeah.
I would love a care package, honestly, because it looks amazing. And I've always wanted to try lion's mane. I still am not 100% sure, about, I want to do more research on baobab, but it looks amazing, like something I want to try. Just all of this. And even matcha recently, I have been talking to a friend who he switched from coffee to matcha. And it's been great. And one morning I had matcha instead of coffee. And it's like, well, it still gives you an energy kick. And it is less severe on the system for obvious reasons. I switched from, I had an espresso machine. I still have the Nespresso machine at home. I don't use it. But I would just, I find it so, like it's like drinking gasoline sometimes. Like it just goes right through your system. So I switched to like Turkish coffee, which is like which is like a little bit lighter, but it's still basically the same thing. And so I have been looking for an alternative. So that seems like an interesting alternative. And I'm starting to see it become more popular. Like people are like, well, I have to drink my morning matcha. I'm like, oh, wait, I didn't hear this a couple of years ago.
Yeah, no, it's great. I mean, it still gives you that, because for me, like, I just doesn't agree with me, the coffee. I first tried green tea, which is great, but it just doesn't give me that kick that I need, you know, in the mornings to kind of get the gears grinding. Right. Whereas matcha does, but it's more of a calm focus. You know, I don't get the jitters. And it's also with the added benefit that the antioxidants, and it's definitely more kind on the gut as well.
Wow. Well, excellent. Definitely a lot of good options for people. And I hope our listeners learn, I definitely learned something new, but to go and actually try it out, to try, all of these ingredients, whether or not they're in London, they can try it out. But if they do want to order it online, do you ship to Canada? Not yet.
We don't at the moment.
Okay.
But stay tuned.
Okay. Interesting. It's like keep people waiting. And
yeah, exactly. But sure, you can still, visit our website, www.wearegerms.com. We've got a journal on there as well. We have some interesting articles and interviews.
Journal's great. Yeah. I just checked out your exercise and the gut connection there. So that was really cool. You can also follow you at We Are Germs. That's JERMS. We Are Germs. Fantastic page. The branding is awesome. Everything about it is really cool. When you reached out to us initially, I thought it was great. I'm like, you know, it is exactly the same kind of mission that we're trying to achieve. And basically the new frontier, the new renaissance of food and technology and everything in between. And I guess the last question for you is, you know, you did reach out to us to use, our tool. And so sort of why were you looking for this type of tool? And how do you see the future of restaurants sort of come together, given that this is where we are right now?
Yeah, I mean, well, I reached out to you because of my own experience. So feel that you have somewhat solved a problem that people with, for myself, with digestive issues had. So, you know, we'd always feel nervous when we went out to dinner, or, you know, we'd have to studiously look at the menu to try and decipher beforehand what we were going to be able to have, what was going to be compatible.
Right.
And this just takes out the worry. You know, it empowers you because it puts everything into your hands. So you can, you know, you can be sure that what you order is not, you know, it's not going to have an adverse effect. And then, of course, your own story, suffering from digestive issues and why you created that, and the mission that you're on really resonated with me. So it's been, you know, it's been so great to have it in our restaurant, both for the customers, because they're able to navigate so easily and feel confident in what they're ordering. And I have to say, as a business owner, also for staff as well, you know, because of course, as a health food business, we always get questions, you know, does this have this? Can you do this without? And it's been a lot easier just to say, you know, to answer, but also saying, you know, you can scan this and see yourself. So it's been really great. And in terms of the future, I mean, this is without a doubt the future. Unfortunately, as I'm sure, it's at the moment, people with allergies or intolerances, it only seems to be increasing.
Yes.
And it's something that I feel a responsibility as a restaurant owner to be able to mitigate that, to be able to provide some sort of solution, to be able to provide reassurance as well, and make it as a pleasant experience as possible, which is exactly what your technology does. So it's you've done an amazing job.
What a testimonial, ladies and gentlemen. No, I mean, it's music to my ears, and I want to see. I had this vision going to. I have this one and a half hour trek to university way back when. There's only like subways or there's little coffee shops and stuff. And there's no place to just go grab something healthy that I could take with me and move on. It was always a big to do to find something, you know, good. And so I want to see, my vision for the future is, you know, restaurants like Germs just becomes ubiquitous, like everywhere you go. It's like, oh, like obviously you want to eat something that makes you feel good and you're not going to have a food hangover after eating it. Like, what a novel idea to eat food that makes you feel good after.
Right. Exactly. And I feel like the demand is there right now. That's, you know, and so the restaurant business needs to catch up with that. So it's a great tool. That's really easy to integrate that lets us do that.
Right. Well, sounds like we're on the same page, and hopefully, you know, we're both going to continue working to make that a reality. And maybe who knows, sooner or later, we're going to see Germs, you know, the second location and the third location. And I'm sure that's that every restaurant owner, that's their at the back of their head, the dream. Right. So I'm excited to see what's to come. Louise, it's been a pleasure. Thanks so much for coming on, and look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thank you. Hopefully see you in London.
See you soon.
See you.